If you will this morning, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Good to see so many children here. While they're going out, let me emphasize February the 9th at 6 o'clock, we'll have our Giving to Grow banquet. It'll be our evening service. It'll be over in the gym. And we're going to have a barbecue lunch for you or dinner. And you bring some good desserts. Our people make the best desserts. Ooh. They're all diet. They don't hurt you a bit. They don't hurt you a bit. And we're going to have a great time. I love my church, and we'll talk about the Giving to Grow program just a short time at the end of it, and we'll make our commitment to the Lord, and we'll see this building paid off, okay? Praise the Lord, we're getting that way, and God is doing some wonderful things in the life of this church, in the life of our people. Luke chapter 9, we're going to read one passage of Scripture, and it's in verse 56, okay? Verse 56, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your blessings. We thank you for the Word of God. Now, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, may we just get ourselves out of the way, open up our eyes of our understanding and our hearts, that you might enlighten us today, and God will give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. The Bible says Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem, which led through Samaria. And he wasn't too welcome there. They didn't receive him, the Bible says. So James and John says, Lord, why don't we just call down fire from heaven and just consume them all. And Jesus says, the Son of Man didn't come here to destroy, but to save. Isn't that great news today? That Jesus wants to save men. Somewhere along the line, we think if we become a Christian, then we're not going to have a very good life. We're going to just have to suffer through. But you know, being a Christian is not a suffering for Jesus always. It's just the life that you ought to be living. He only wants good for you. You know, we don't want to give our kids something that's bad for them. We want them to be blessed, and God wants us to be blessed. He says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then he goes into this passage of Scripture here. One of the guys says, Lord, wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. And he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And then he gives us a definition, I believe, what it means to be a Christian. In two words, he says, follow me. Follow me. You know, one of them said, I want to follow you. And he says, but let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. You see, there's an importance in the preaching of the kingdom of the word of God. There's an urgency about the kingdom of God. If man does not give his life and follow Christ completely, then he's going to miss the greatest glory of all time, the kingdom of God. You know, we see all the time someone dies and passes away, and we feel, they're gone. Like, that's a sad thing. But, it's good to be saved. And it's good to die if you are a Christian, because you're going to be with God for all eternity, and you'll have an abundant life there in heaven. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if anybody knows how to describe it. But the Bible tells us over in Revelation what it's going to be like. And let me tell you something. I want to be a part of that. I want to be there. I don't want to miss that. And you don't want to miss that. And Jesus says, you know, I don't want to destroy men's lives. I want to save them. Now, Christ dealt with a lot of people every day. And he had different approaches to just about everybody that came along. We sing these songs. I will follow Jesus. Wherever he leads me, I will go. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. But we do not follow him, do we? A lot of times we say, I'll follow Jesus, but like this man, on my own terms, Lord. Let me do it on my own terms. I'll tell people about Jesus as long as I can do it on my own terms. And that's not what he says. He just says simply, follow me. Follow me. And that is a commitment to follow Jesus. You know, we always like to be a part of something. Everybody likes to be a part of something. Let me be a part of the movement or whatever it is, or whatever going on here and that. Jesus says, you know, just follow me with all your life. Give me your life. And then I believe the Bible gives us some examples, and I'm going to tell you about them today. Over in John, we find several interesting passages of scriptures, but there's a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the Bible says, came to Jesus by night. He comes searching for Jesus, and he said, we know that you are a good teacher. Nobody could do these things unless God be with him. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. You must be born again. Nicodemus, you've got to realize your condition. And you know, before we can be saved, we need to realize that. You see, Nicodemus, the Bible tells us, was a religious man. The Bible says he was a Pharisee. He was a chief. So, the Pharisee, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He knew the Bible forward and backwards, the Old Testament, you know. He knew all the laws. In his thinking, he was one of the chosen men. His whole life was immersed in religion, prayer, worship, the study of scriptures, keeping the law. But you know what? His life missed something. For in all of that, there was still something in Nicodemus' life. And he came to Jesus Christ. And he came to Jesus Christ to find out, what am I missing here? Folks, that reminds me, a lot of our people today go to church. They're immersed in religion. They study their Bibles. They do all of this, but you know, they're not following Jesus completely. They're just saved as, they're not even saved. They're just in church. And that is so hard to believe sometimes. We have so many people in our churches, they've got their names on the roll somewhere, and they'll tell you, well, you know, I've been told a lot of times, knock on the door. Somebody come to the door, and I start talking to them about things, and, oh, I'm a member down there at that church. I even asked a guy, I said, well, who's the pastor down there now? Well, I don't know. You don't even know your own pastor? Well, you know, it's been about, I used to be a member down there. I don't go, but I'm all right. Like Perry said, me and the man upstairs, he got everything worked out. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you're going to be surprised. And the Bible says many will call upon me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, had we done this? Had we done that? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, Lord, you know, I've got my name on the church roll. I never knew you. You see, that's the way a lot of our people, and that's the way Nicodemus. And man, if he had credentials, he had them. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. Well, how in the world do you do something like that? He said, Nicodemus, that which is born of the water, flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You've got to invite Christ into your life, folks. Religion will not get you there. And I'm glad you come to Sunday school. We had a great Sunday school this morning. I'm glad you do that. And I'm glad you study your Bibles. But you need to let the Spirit of God sometimes. You know why so many of us are not in church on Sunday morning that are on the church rolls? I got a feeling they're just lost. Now, I'll give room. Some of them are sick. Some of them can't come. And that's, I know that. I'm not so mean to think that everybody that has their name on church roll is lost except those here on Sunday morning. But I got a feeling there's some on Sunday morning that are lost, that they got their names on the church roll. And folks, Jesus says, you know, I don't want to destroy you, but I want you to realize your condition. Unless you have the Spirit of God in your life and you are following Christ with your life, then you need to come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. You know, I went to church for years, man. Don't tell me about having a name on a church roll. I had my name on several church rolls, and I went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But I was lost as could be. I was a Sunday school superintendent. I was a teacher of the boys' class, an RNG leader, and I was lost as could be. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me one day in church, and he says, you know what's wrong with you? And I said, I wish I knew, because I'm miserable the way I am. You're hiding in church. And boy, I begin to think about that. I'm hiding in church. Nobody knows I'm lost. Everybody out there thinks I'm saved. I've got them all fooled except the one who really matters, and it's God. And he began to speak to my heart, and I said, Lord, I've got to do something about this. And I realized I couldn't do anything about it except by faith trust Christ. And I said, Lord, I'll let the past be the past that we talked about in Sunday school. I want to get saved. I want you to come into my life. I want to have that marvelous life that you talk about. I want to have it abundantly. And you know, that day I got up and I came down to the preacher and I gave my life to Jesus. I fooled him. He said, what did you come down here for, buddy? I said, I want to get saved. He said, what? You're already saved. I said, no, I am now. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You see, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you may be like Nicodemus. You may be in church. You may be hiding. Don't count on your background. I've had people say, well, mom and daddy were saved. I must be saved. I went to church with them when I was young. But they're not following Jesus, see. They're out there in the world, and they think they're, because they had maybe some experience in church when they was a young person, and they got their name on a church roll, that they're saved. That's not so. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, if you really want to follow me, you've got to start with realizing your condition, and your condition is lost. You must be born again. That's found in John. If you look over in John, it's at the last of the New Testament books there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And it's in three. But you know what? I think it's in three. Yep, three. I got that right. But I want to tell you the story again of another one, chapter 4. There's a woman at the well. She comes to the well at noon. Jesus there is beside the well, and this woman comes and she said, can you give me a drink of water? She said, "Who is it that you would ask me, a Samaritan, a Jew asking a Samaritan, for a drink of water?" You see, she was a lost, adulterous woman, outcast by the Jews. She came in noon because probably nobody else wanted to come with her. She was such a lost, unfit woman, and here Jesus Christ looks at her life and said, "Can you give me a drink? Can you give me a drink of water?" You see, some of you are like this woman today. You know, you're lost in sin. You haven't been immersed in religion all your life. You came here today. The Holy Spirit, I believe, led you here. You're not by accident. You're here today, and you know you're lost. You've made a mess of your life. You see, we do that, don't we? We make a mess of our life. This woman had made a mess of her life. She'd been married 5 times. And the one she was living with is not her husband, Jesus said. And he said, "You know what? If you knew who asked you for a drink of water, you would ask him. You would ask me for a drink. And the water I'd give is living water. You'd never thirst again." And the Bible says, now wait a minute, that caught her attention. She says, "You know, if he gives me this water that I won't thirst again, I don't have to come out here to well anymore." Man, what a deal. I won't have to haul water anymore. I won't get thirsty. That's chapter 4 of John. And it's right after Nicodemus. And I thought when I read that, you know, if I'd been writing this, I'd have put it in a different order. But no, he puts the religious person first and then the outcast second. The one who made a mess of her life. And Jesus, he always knows how to deal with people, doesn't he? He said, "Ma'am, lady, you want the water that I give?" He said, "Go get your husband." Now, until then, she had been doing pretty good, but whoa, I don't have a husband. He says, "You're right. The one you're living with, you've been married 5 times, and boy, I can see this woman. She has, I got a feeling she's a lady that could give you an answer for almost anything. She was tough as nails, had to be married 5 times. And now, all alone, she had made a big mess of her life. And then this man's asking her for a drink, and he'll give her a drink, and Jesus said, "Go get your husband." And she says, "Whoa, I don't have a husband." And he says, "You've answered right. Your life's such a mess in the way you've had it." You know, that's the way we are in our lost condition. We are in a mess. And a lot of times we don't know which way to go. Where do I turn to? This world's not the answer. It's going to lead you further and further away from God. Jesus wants to lead you back to God, or to God. But you've got to recognize your condition and realize that you are lost. And that's what he wanted this woman to see. "Ma'am, you are lost. Your condition's not going to get any better until you ask me for that living water." And then she runs back to the town to tell everybody, "Hey, there's a man out to the well that he told all about my life. You've got to come see him." I just imagine she was so excited about her life now that she wanted everybody to know Christ. That's the way it is, I believe, when you're lost and you're saved. I know the day I got saved, I wanted everybody to know that I got saved. I wanted to tell the world that Jesus Christ had lifted that load off of me, that released me from that burden in my life, And I know that this woman did the same thing. She wanted to tell everybody. And Jesus simply wanted her to follow him with her life. Isn't that good to know that Christ wants you to follow him today? No matter who you are, where you are, what condition you're in, you might be lost in religious, or you might just be lost and outside in your sin. But Christ loves you. He died for you just as well as he died for anybody else. No matter what you've done, you see, she's been married 5 times. She probably thought, you know, I am a teetotal loser. I can't even have a husband. I've tried 5 times. I'll give up. I'm just going to live with this guy now. And some of us are like that. We feel like nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. I've just come to the end of my rope, and I think I'm just through with everything. Well, let me tell you something. That's just where God wants you. Because when you come to the end of your rope, then you can reach up to him. And when you seek him, the Bible says, you'll find him. In the day that you seek me, if you're here today and you really want Christ to come in and change your life, then he will. But you've got to want that, folks. A lot of people don't want that. A lot of people like the guy that said, I'll follow you anywhere, but wait. Let me do it at my own pace, my own terms. That's not what Jesus says. Follow me. And he means now. I know some people will say, well, preacher, one of these days I'm going to follow Christ. One of these days I'm going to do this. One of these days. It doesn't work that way. You either do it now or you may be lost for all eternity. You see, today is the day of salvation. It's not next week. I plan to do that one of these days. It's right now. It's right now. And then Jesus goes on down. He's going through Jericho, and there's this little man. Every time I read this story, I think of Dan. A wee little man. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but he wanted to see Jesus. So he goes out and climbs a tree, and he knows Jesus Christ is passing by, and Jesus looks up at him. Now, Zacchaeus was the chief among tax collectors. Boy, he was wealthy. Let me tell you something. If you was a tax collector, you made some money. But the chief tax collector, he probably had a bunch of guys working under him collecting taxes. He was the nobody liked him. But he was rich. And I got a feeling he really didn't care if people liked it or not, long as he was rich. But he heard about Jesus Christ. He heard about Jesus Christ. He's coming into the city, and I'm going to go out and see this Jesus. And he goes out and climbs a tree, and lo and behold, Jesus Christ walks up to that tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to have lunch with you. I just imagine everybody looked around and says, you know who you're talking to? Nobody wants to go to his house. Nobody wants to be caught dead talking to him. He is the chief tax collector. Nobody likes him. He's a sinner, worst of everything. And you want to go have lunch with him? Lord, you must be mistaken. No, I'm not. Zacchaeus, get down that tree. We're going to eat at your house today. You see, Zacchaeus was one of these guys that was lost. Nobody likes him. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. But he needed Jesus. And Jesus will have something to do with you. Jesus loves you, folks. He gives us an example of one religious and two lost here. Out in the world, they're lost. They're doing their own thing. One of them's made a mess of his life. One of them's rich, but it's still not going to buy his way into heaven. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. Did you know Zacchaeus went into that house that evening? Rich. And he left that house that evening giving half of his estate away. You see, that's good repentance. That's repenting. He's turning his life around. old Zacchaeus asked Christ to come in his life today, and I know that because he repented. He turned around, and he said, Lord, I'm going to give all of this back that I've stole from people. You know, you can tell when a person really excited about Jesus Christ is when they want to repent and turn their life around. And that's what being saved is, repenting of your sin and turning yourself toward Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't give his estate away because of he had to. He gave it away because he wanted to. He knew that he needed to make amends. And folks, let me tell you something. When you really turn your life around, when you really are saved, when you really get your life right, you're going to follow Jesus Christ because you want to. I have people all the time say, well, I am not coming to church because you didn't visit me when I was sick in the hospital. Well, so what? You didn't visit me when I was sick in the hospital. But I didn't quit going to church. I'm not here because I love you. I'm here because I love the Lord. And God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is a bunch of Baptists. That's King James Version. Let me tell you something, folks. You go to church because you want to follow Jesus Christ. And he said, you love me, you want to learn about me, and you want to follow me. And he says, in the end days, and let me tell you something, I believe we're coming up on some rough times in our country. And I want to be on Jesus' side. Amen. I want to know I'm following him because I want to be, when I die and go to heaven, and we will die and go somewhere, I want to go with Jesus. And if you want to die and go to heaven with Jesus, then you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to repent and turn your life around and head back towards Christ. That's the condition of a lost person. You're out in the world, you've made a mess of your life, and you don't know Jesus Christ. You're seeking him today, you're here, you want to give your life to him, then you come and follow him. Don't come down here and just say, hey, preacher, I want to, you know, join this church. No, I want to follow Christ. Then I won't have to worry about you getting mad if I don't see you at the hospital. You see? I've had people say, well, you didn't come by my house this week. You know, you didn't come by mine either. It works both ways. But let me tell you something. If you love Jesus Christ, it's not going to be, I'm not going to get mad at the church. I've had people say, I don't like that church up there. I don't like this. I don't like that. You don't like anything. You don't even like God, do you? No. If you liked God, you loved God, you would be where you ought to be, serving with an attitude of Christ-likeness. You see, we love God. Somebody says, that fellow up there sure is happy. He's always smiling. Let me tell you why. He's got Jesus in his life. Amen. When you have Jesus in your life, through good times and bad times, you're going to be able to say, praise God. I know all things work together for good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And folks, it's not going to be easy to follow Christ, but it'll be joy in your life if you do. You see, he gives us all the weapons. Now, let me just share one more story, and then I'll close. I've given you about a man named Nicodemus. He recognized that he was lost and needed a Savior, even though he was religious, and I believe he was saved. I've given you a woman who received Jesus Christ, I believe, into her heart. She had made a mess of her life. And yet Jesus Christ loves her. And then I give you a story about Zacchaeus, a man that nobody liked either, and he was lost, and he repented and turned to Christ. But there was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus Christ one time, and he says, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, knowing that he was rich, said, go sell all that you have and come, what? Follow me. And you know what he did? He turned and went away because he was wealthy. Oh, how sad. He just wouldn't follow Christ. He just couldn't. He said, what must I do? And there's nothing he could do. Just follow Christ. You know, Jesus said one thing. Jesus knew where his heart was, you see. Just because you're wealthy, Jesus is not going to say you have to sell everything you have to follow him. No, that's not what. But Jesus knew that he loved that money more than he did. And he said, give away that and come follow me. Let's see how you love me. And he said, I can't do that. And he went away lost. Folks, is that you today? That's a sad condition to walk out these doors without Christ. When knowing that he died on the cross for you, that you might have life. Let me look at that verse again. Jesus said, I came to save men, not to destroy them. Jesus wants to save you today. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you everlasting life. What must I do? Follow me. That's all he said. Follow me. Be willing to commit yourself to me. And when you die, you'll have eternal life. It means to receive him into your heart. Turn away from your sin and walk towards him. That's easy enough, isn't it? It's easy enough said, but the old devil's going to start knocking on your door saying you don't need to do that. You remember you got your name on that church roll down there. It doesn't matter. If you don't know Christ, I'd be the first to step out down here and get down this aisle. I was that day. I sat there in that fourth seat, and I thought to myself, everybody in here thinks I'm saved. My daddy and mother thought I was saved. But I knew I was lost. I knew I was lost. I knew I was lost. And God knew I was lost. When that preacher gave the invitation, I stepped out and I came to follow Christ. What a wonderful joy it's been to follow Christ all these days. I'm not perfect. I mess up. I mess up every week. You can ask my wife. She's the best thing ever happened to me, I think, besides Jesus Christ. But folks, let me tell you something. That day made a change in my life. And God makes a change in our life. And he'll change your life if you will come to him today. Simply follow me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for these that are here. And Lord, there's some may be lost in church like Nicodemus. They know all about the Bible. There's some may have messed with their lives like the woman. Some may be like Zacchaeus. But Lord, they came. But let us not be like that rich young ruler that went away lost. Let us come to you before it's too late. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?